Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and to know your voice. Raise us up tall and strong as we bring forth your beloved community. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
So good to be here. What a joy. I'm so glad I'm with you. Today in our gospel, we hear of a woman who was short in stature by a crippling infirmity who is healed by Jesus. A miracle, to be sure, but done on the wrong day, according to some. Jesus was in the middle of teaching in the synagogue for what Scripture records as his last time teaching in a synagogue, as he continues his journey toward Jerusalem and his crucifixion. I say the woman is considered short in stature because of the crippling disease that has left her bent over. Modern opinion diagnoses her affliction as spondylitis deformans, a disease of the spine in humans. Spinal discs begin to degenerate, leading to bone spurs around the disc and nearby spinal joints, and they fuse into a rigid mass. I'm sure we have all known someone or seen someone with this condition. And in fact, I believe we recently had a longtime parishioner here at the cathedral who suffered from the disease. May God rest her soul. There's no reason to believe that this woman was possessed by a demon, just a crippling spirit that brought about an inexplainable medical condition. For 18 years, she lived in a posture of forced humility, her face always down to the dirt of the floor. Unless she retched sideways and peered upward like an awkward animal, she could not sit down comfortably, nor lie down except on her side. Walking was difficult, and eating could not have been pleasant. She had no direct eye contact with others, and nor did she experience embracing hugs. But, I want to note, her spiritual focus was always upward. It appears she was a regular worshiper at the synagogue, and it would have been far easier for her to stay at home on the Sabbath. But to her credit, she sought solace in worship and hearing God's word and being in contact with community. We're told that Jesus noticed her immediately as she shuffled into the synagogue. It's hard not to notice someone in that physical configuration. Obviously, Jesus was moved to compassion and love. And we read, when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. And she glorified God. Jesus, our great healer, touched her and made her whole, made her well, and she glorified God. This unidentified woman, this complete stranger to Jesus, being called by him to come forward, who hadn't asked to be healed, she had to sense the love in his eyes and the feel of compassion in his heart. Now, this scene in our gospel has overwhelmed my emotions for a couple of weeks now as I started to prepare for this sermon. Can you just place yourself in the synagogue and see this event taking place? Come with me there to the synagogue for just a moment. Can you feel the intensity of standing near Jesus as he interacts with this woman? This daughter of Abraham as our text describes. And he makes her whole. He makes her tall again. Can you sense the anticipation of the crowd? This is not your regular Sabbath service. And we're told she glorified God. How? What could that look like? Well, we're all standing there. And she raises straight up, and her hands and her arms stretch high into the air. High into the air, and she gives God glory. Wow. We know this woman was faithful because thanksgiving naturally erupts from a prayerful heart. She praises God with her voice, with her eyes, with her hands, with her upright body, and her rising soul. This is what intense joy looks like and sounds like. And her eyes finally meet directly with Jesus' eyes, and directly with our eyes, and all the other eyes of the synagogue attendees. For the first time in a very long time, she sees human eyes instantly, and not just from a crouched position. What an unforgettable spectacle we've just witnessed. The gasps, the shouting and cheering had to be deafening. And we are there to see it and feel the intensity of it. Praise God. This healing we just witnessed is but a small example of the healing power of Jesus that has been with us throughout all history. Jesus sees us in our need, and even more significantly, in our deepest inward deformities. And he extends his generous love and compassion. My friends, if you and I could see as Jesus sees them, what with the same love and that same compassion, what a changed world we would be living in. But we know there's little love and compassion through our world, our nation, and our community these days. And the same was true that day in the synagogue. Sadly, we know that not everyone accepts God's unconditional love. Consider the synagogue leader this day. We read, but the ruler of the synagogue, indignant, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, scolded the people. Not Jesus, mind you, but the people. There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. A modern-day Grinch, a bully, a dictator, he had no heart to pity the poor woman or her plight. No eyes for the beauty of Christ's compassion. No soul to rejoice over her healing. No ear for the music of her praise. He was certainly intimidated by Jesus, wasn't he? And he wouldn't address or rebuke Jesus directly. He was feeling powerless by the roar of the crowd to what they had just witnessed. He was proud of the fact that he was a lover of the law. But his lack of love for the woman clearly showed that he did not love his neighbor as himself, and therefore could not or did not love God. The care and attention to livestock on the Sabbath took precedence for him over the care and attention of a suffering sibling on the Sabbath. Power and control. It's always about power and control. The synagogue leader used the Sabbath rules to discredit Jesus, regardless of the good that he had just done. He made a power move over and against Jesus. Jesus made him feel threatened, and that his power and respect would be diminished in his congregation. He had to oppress in order to stay in control. Every day, you and I, we see sisters and brothers bent over with heavy burdens of everyday life, oppressed and physically burdened. Perhaps not physically bent over, but certainly mentally and spiritually bent. It may be you who are bent with burdens this day, or me, or the person sitting next to you, or your neighbor that lives across the street. Siblings that are burdened by racial or sexual discrimination, poverty and injustice, by those who are in power and control. Persons who are controlled by addictions or terminal diseases. Siblings grieving loss of family to gun violence or violence in any form. Brothers and sisters begging on the street corner, sleeping on our streets, or confined in prison. Neighbors who are seeking employment or a living wage. Families with a special needs child or a parent living with dementia. And the list goes on. Each individual bearing huge, weighty burdens. We may not see them physically bent over, but we know deep within them they carry heavy burdens and mental anguish. It takes everything in them to get through the day, hoping against hope to make it till tomorrow. Can we see the inward anguish and struggle they have, just as Jesus saw the struggles in the woman? And just as importantly, can we bring life, giving healing to them, just as Jesus did? Can we bring love and compassion and freedom in some small way, just as our Savior showed us this morning? This gospel passage offers us an opportunity to examine our own situation. What are the ways in which Jesus' healing hands and words might call us to stand up straight and glorify God? What are the tools we might use to ask for God's healing grace in each of them? Jesus revealed to us this morning the compassionate heart of God as he healed this woman. He demonstrated that God knows everything, the cause and the cure of our afflictions. Jesus revealed some of God's purposes for the Sabbath. And it is not a day for misery and bondage, but a day for praises and freedom. Jesus also revealed that God knows the motives of the heart and is not impressed with external behavior that masks unbelief, jealousy, and hatred. We know God hates hypocrisy. Earlier this morning, at the top of page 3 in your service bulletin, we prayed a beautiful collect. And if you want to take a look at that real quick, the top of 3, the Reverend Dave prayed with us this morning. It says, "Ever faithful God, whose being is perfect righteousness, you reconcile us in your Son with the helpless and the needy, and those we would ignore or oppress, and with those we call our enemies, so that we, as your hands of love, may serve all people and sit at the feet of those who need our compassionate care." Amen. I encourage you to carry home your service bulletin this morning. And use this prayer every day this week as you remember the woman in our gospel and her plight and the plight of our siblings. May God use our feet, our voices, and our hands to bring forth God's beloved community. Amen.